Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
And then Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. That last part of the six principles that we've been in this for several weeks now, and the six principles are there. I'll go over them briefly, but we've been talking about these six principles, and this first one, repentance from dead works, is really, really, really monumental. I can't stress how important that one is when it really comes to a life that's going to remain in Christ and a life that's going to be productive and be in advancing God's kingdom and fulfilling God's will. When you have this basic principle instilled in you, it's going to work on your behalf and the behalf and well-being of others. I want to look at this. All right. So let's say a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning. We thank you for everyone. We thank you for everyone, Russell Road, and even those who aren't a part of the Russell Road, but are just watching, tuning in. Father, somebody from India is tuned in. Lord, we believe that. And Lord, we believe that you're doing a work. So Lord, right now we ask that you speak to our hearts by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just reveal to us the need of this understanding of repentance. And Lord, it's just a fresh time to be speaking your word. You said that repent, therefore, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Father, we know that repentance and your presence are connected. It brings refreshing. So Father, we want to understand this repentance. Father, we trust you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right. All right. Now, this idea of a foundation, remember? He talks about the foundation in right here in verse 1 of chapter 6. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. So remember, this word foundation is so, so important. And it literally means set in stone. Set in stone. It means set in stone. And we've gone over that. And Paul uses it also in 1 Corinthians 3:10. He says this. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. I have laid the foundation. Now watch. And another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. On the foundation. Paul said he laid the foundation, all right? The foundation is, it's just so important in our spiritual life that if we don't get our foundation right, it's not going to be able to sustain our walk with God, and we won't be able to stand when the enemy's trying to do his thing or other things are trying to come against us. We won't be able to stand because our foundation will be faulty. So we want to keep this idea of our foundation strong. And here's the important thing too, is the foundation is it's not obvious. You can't really see it. It becomes a part of you. And that's what we want. We want to understand that. Now, I like what Paul said. He said, take heed. Paul was the master builder in 1 Corinthians 3:10. He's the master builder. I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. Now this word heed, I'm going to give you real quick. It means to give attention to consider, to deliberate upon, to examine, to study, to believe after careful deliberation. You see that? Take heed how you build on the foundation that you've already gotten, you've already laid, that Paul's already laid, or whoever's laid the foundation of your faith, because you have a pastor or someone who's taught you, laid that foundation, someone else is going to build on it, okay? And other people, even you will start to build on it, your life, okay? So now look, we are working on building our lives in God in such a way that we can attain the fullness of our divine purpose for being on this earth, this planet. This helps us fulfill our purpose for being on this planet. We can press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 3:14, we can press on. And to press means there will be resistance. And remember, if we're going to prosper, the meaning of prosperity is to press forward, to make progress, and to help others along the road. And 3 John, he said, I pray that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And then he goes on to say, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. So the truth is, we need to understand this repentance. It's so important. The foundation of building the most important, yet least obvious part of the building, without the foundation, the building would have no support. Would have no support, and therefore no capacity to remain standing in storms, in circumstances, in situations. It won't remain standing. So it is with the spiritual foundation. So it is. Listen. So it is with your spiritual foundation in your life. This has got to be established. When you internalize the fundamental truths of the Christian faith as your own personal convictions, you are better equipped to make wise decisions and to overcome life's challenges for the glory of God. You see that? For the glory of God. You're not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase. We talk about that. But when these are part of you, now listen, here's the six principles. I'm going to speak them real quick and then we're going to continue to move on. Number one is repentance from dead works. These are all in Hebrews 6:1. Number two is faith towards God. Number three is baptisms. And today we canceled our baptisms, but we're going to reschedule. You know, several of them called me and was concerned about getting baptized. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So number three is baptisms. Number four is laying on of hands. Number five is the resurrection from the dead. Number six is eternal judgment. We're going to cover those in detail and really help us get a hold of those so those can be a part of our life and we can be confident in God in these days that we're living in. Now listen, the basic principles of the doctrines of Christ, those are the basic principles of the doctrines of Christ. That's what it says in Hebrews. the doctrines of Christ. And they are vital to laying a strong foundation that is not easily moved. I like 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that knowing that your labor is not in vain. You will be immovable when you have this foundation laid. Once our spiritual foundation is laid, Paul tells us to heed. Remember? Consider. To consider. To deliberate. To study. To examine. To heed how we build upon it. We want to be aware of how we're building on it. What you give your attention to determines what you believe. Your beliefs determine what information you will act upon to build your life. And I like what it says in Proverbs 4:20. The wisest man other than Jesus said, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So we want to make sure what we're giving our attention to is going to help us build our life. So our children, our grandchildren, our marriages. If you build your marriage on this and you have two people building with this foundation, they will never divorce. That won't happen. You get two people with that this foundation established, this thing's going to work. Now watch. You must choose how you will build, either on the bedrock of Scripture and sound doctrine, or something else. Something else is sand. Something else is sand. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, he who hears these words of mine and does them, I would liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. For when the rains descended and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It was founded on the rock. But he who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. For when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, great was its fall. You see, you can't build your life on anything other than what God has said. And that is Christ and Him crucified. Now listen, this is huge. So, the word foundation, remember, is T-H-E-M-E-L-I-O-S. And there's two words in there, lithos and tithemi. And it means to be set in stone. So you want these six principles set in stone in your spiritual life. Something that is set in stone, a foundation, cannot be easily moved or shaken. Something so solid, it will endure the test of time. You won't be walking away from the faith because of what somebody else has said. You won't be walking away because of what somebody's doing. You're going to remain in the faith. And that's what we all need. All of us. We all need that, regardless of what's going on around us, right? The storms and what have you. So we can see that this issue of repentance, listen, is vital and so paramount in our lives that our understanding of it should be set in stone. Set in stone. And that's what we're attempting. And because we got some new folks coming to the church. We got quite a few new believers. And we got folks that have been there for a while, but sometimes I need a repeat on some things, and I want to really help us understand these. Now watch. In all my years of ministry, I've come to realize that many do need to be taught again regarding this essential doctrine. They do need to be taught again regarding this essential doctrine because they were never properly taught in the first place. Truth is, most people in the church are lacking in knowledge. Not just Russell Road Church, the church worldwide. or lacking in knowledge of what true repentance is, or why it's so foundational and necessary for the Christian walk. The concept of repentance is all too often misunderstood and misrepresented. If you ask the average Christian, explain to me repentance, a lot of times they struggle with it. Folks, we're going to be able to talk to them about it. In the church today, even though it is an elementary tenet of our faith, people are lacking in knowledge of this. And what Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. So now, many believers equate the act of repentance with remorse. Or they believe that repentance is simply spiritual, a spiritual way to get out of trouble or out of jail, a free card, a free pass to get out of something that they've gotten themselves in trouble in. And that allows them, this is what they believe, that allows them to admit their fault, ask for forgiveness, and then dive right back into the same thing they got in trouble for. And the same sin and the same pattern. Time and time again. Listen to me. However, these assumptions could not be further from the truth. That's not how it is. When true repentance is there, you don't dive back into the same thing and keep repeating. That's remorse. True repentance is life change. Life change. Listen, Christians who believe this way, when you believe that you can just keep diving back into the same pattern and keep doing the same thing over and over wrong and never making a change, you open yourself up to the enemy, and he's going to have your lunch, because you will remain ignorant of how he works and how God works. Because when you know how God works, he don't have anything. The enemy has nothing. He's a liar. And you have the truth. And the truth overcomes lies. Listen to me. This word repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Repent. In Matthew 3:2, listen. No, we got to make it fun, but this is good. Oh, this is solid. John the Baptist came preaching, saying, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So now, this is significant. In Matthew 3:3 says this, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, talking about John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Isn't that something? Started with repentance, and it helps you to make your paths straight. Did you catch that? Now watch. Jesus said, after John the Baptist laid the groundwork, Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, look what he said. This is Jesus' first sermon. His first words in public for a sermon. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means change your mind. In other words, I'm going to have to change my mind about this kingdom. How this kingdom works. How this kingdom functions. Because they were expecting some Messiah to come in and on this big horse and all this glamorous army and all. Are you with me? Wasn't like that. He came in on a donkey. And he's telling us we're going to have to change our mind, the way we think about this kingdom. Now watch. So John the Baptist, then Jesus. John the Baptist's ministry was literally launched with one word. Repent. According to John's preaching, the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven was through repentance. Jesus also began his public ministry with one very same word when he said first, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now listen, Peter in Acts 2:38 also said when he launched his ministry on the day of Pentecost, the same requirement when he declared to his audience, repent, repent. Jesus, John the Baptist, and Peter all understood this same truth. The only way you can begin a relationship with God is through repentance. Is through repentance. Repentance is the birth canal through which people enter the kingdom of God. Repentance is the birth canal through which people enter the kingdom of God. In other words, it is the only way a person can be truly delivered from the kingdom of darkness and emerge spiritually reborn and filled with the God kind of life. It's the only way. It starts with repentance. Now, this is good. Remember, we've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Folks, that's the kingdom, and that's what we're talking about. Now watch this. I got to watch. I'll start preaching. I want to stay focused on this. This is huge. Now listen. The word repent. Here we go. We've taught on this before, but we're doing, it's always, we got to keep hearing, and by hearing, that's what faith comes, by hearing and hearing. The word repent is metanoia. M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. And remember, it's a compound word. Meta means to turn or change. To turn or change. Noia is the word mind. Mind. Noia is the word mind. When it's compounded, it's a change of mind or a complete conversion. Did you hear that? It's a change of mind or complete conversion. The word metanoia reflects a turn, a change of direction, a new course, a completely altered view of life and behavior. Listen to me, a decision to believe, think, and act differently. A decision to believe, think, and act differently. It's a decision. In the Old Testament, Septuagint, the word repent was used by prophets who called on the people to turn away from evil and turn toward the way of the Lord, changing their attitudes and their ways. But in the New Testament, listen to me, it changed when Jesus came because of the cross. And when he came, it changed. The word even changed. Well, listen. This word is used often to denote a complete, radical, total change. Repentance is not a mere acceptance of a new philosophy or a new idea. It is actually a decision. Listen, a decision made a completely change one's thoughts, behavior, and actions, or to entirely turn around in the way one is thinking, believing, or living. Thus, the word repent in the New Testament gives the image of a person changing from top to bottom. From top to bottom. Makes me think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your acceptable service. Reasonable service. You see that? Holy and acceptable, which is a reasonable service. Now think about that. Your body houses your spirit and houses your soul. That's all of you. You surrender all of you to God. You see that? And that's what repentance is all about. And then he says that you may be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect and acceptable will of God. You see that? We've talked about that over and over, but we're going to keep on talking about it. It is a conversion to truth so deep that it results in a total transformation, wholly affecting every part of a person's life, your whole body, everything. You know, I go work out because I've repented. I've got to fulfill God's will. I just went to a funeral yesterday. Pastor Lambert, Ron Lambert, was 92. And I'm telling you, he worked out. He kept himself in shape because he was out to do the will of God. And he was a good example of this whole body. You hear me? Now watch. Total life transformation. Repentance is all about changing everything. I couldn't be more serious. Total life transformation. This idea as across the board is transformation is inherent in the word repent. In fact, if there is no transformation, change of behavior or change of desire in a person who claims to have repented, it's doubtful that true repentance has occurred. No matter what they claim. Real repentance begins with a decision. A decision to make an about face and to change. It's proof. Its proof can be witnessed as a person's outward conduct and behavior complies with that decision. This is not someone just saying he wants to change. This is someone deciding to be different, deciding to turn, deciding to change. And on the other side of that decision, the person will bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Worthy of repentance. Or a lifestyle change that proves his repentance is genuine. The word in repentance, metanoia, now means the mind. Now listen to me, this is huge. The mind. The mind that is contained in the Greek word metanoia is significant. Listen, it means that the decision to repent lies in the mind, not in your emotions. Not in your emotions. It lies in the mind, the way you think. This is significant what I'm going to say. In fact, in this word, when this word is translated repent, there is no hint of emotion. It is a decision of the mind and heart to think differently, to believe differently, and it results in a change of behavior. This is not the same, listen to me, this is not the same as a fleeting sorrow for past actions. Rather, it is a solid intellectual decision. It is a solid intellectual decision to make an about face and turn in a new direction and revise the pattern of one's life.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.